Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Ephesians, we're still in Ephesians. I know we just read from Romans, but there's a reason for it. I want you to think of this thought, is that we don't fight against people. The war is not in flesh and blood. Satan tempted Eve, and she gave in, but she was responsible for her actions. And so we have forces of evil that influence nations, people, groups for evil. But the battle, and this is where we make the mistake, is not against people. Our battle is against those forces that seek to enslave, deceive, and incite people. Paul said in Acts, his missionary thrust, his goal, his duty, his vision, how he saw his work, he said to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. You realize it, that God's mercy is open to everyone, and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, in Jesus, to turn them from the power of darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Now, we've been studying this spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, and if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you're probably familiar with this passage, familiar that we have an enemy, familiar that this enemy has tactics that he wants to destroy us. And we learned a couple weeks ago that we can stand. And why can we stand? Because we have his might, we have his plan. We have his might and his plan. We can stand. And then last week we talked about the tactics, the wiles, the schemes of the devil. The devil is a murderer, and he is a liar. And his goal is to destroy man. And we talked a few of these tactics. One of them was he wants us to doubt. He wants us to doubt the goodness of God. He wants us to doubt the power of God, the plan of God. The second one we talked about is he wants us to minimize the consequences of sin. That maybe we can get away with it. And then he wants us to lose our identity. And we're facing a world with an identity crisis. And we realize that in Jesus, we have an identity. We know who we are. We know where we came from. We know that he has a purpose for our lives, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Yet this week, this very week, again, we witnessed another horrific crime. And I can't imagine the parents sending their kids to middle school, going to middle school, and their kids not coming home. And some person decided that their life was so worthless and so hopeless that they were going to take the lives of these children. And for us, it's like, how can this happen? And I since the Columbine massacre, I wonder if we've almost accepted this as normal. When we hear about Buffalo, when we hear about all these different mass shootings, we're like, what can we do? And of course, there's a lot of solutions that people come up with, whether it's the guns or better mental health care or lockdowns or all of these different things that people want to do something. But yet, they never realize the root cause. They never realize where this really is coming from. That all of these solutions that we come out with, they're really not solutions. And what is the explanation? What's the explanation? It's an explanation for somebody to just go and shoot kids. And Sam just talked about in war, prisoners, instead of releasing them, knowing the war's over, they're going to execute them. Like, what's going on in the minds of people? In the Bible, we find an explanation. We find an explanation shows us that the war is a lot deeper. The evil in this world is a lot deeper than we understand. And Paul says in verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." And the Bible's telling us that there are forces, evil forces, spiritual forces that we don't see. We talked about where Satan came from last week, that incite man. In fact, we had my sermon recap, I talked about how the devil incited David to number the people, and 70,000 people died in a plague. The devil seeks to destroy. There are evil philosophies, beliefs that are perpetuated by spiritual beings that we don't see, that we don't understand, that promote terrible and encourage wicked acts of violence and death upon mankind. W.H. Auden, who was a famous English-American poet during the time of World War II, he was an atheist. And he went to a propaganda film in a German village with people he knew. And as the film is being shown, and of course the Nazi propaganda is showing the Polish people as inferior, and he noted, he said he saw people he knew, people that he knew were good people. And as they were showing that film, they were standing up and saying, "Kill the Poles." And he said, "My atheism doesn't have an explanation for this. If we're just evolutionary beings, and it's like, okay, the survival of the fittest, we bring that to the logical conclusion. But what is it that incites this evil?" And he noted his neighbors, his friends, that probably would come and help you move or do something for you, yet they're ready to destroy a group of people. When you think about Texas, Buffalo, Rwanda, communism, all the evils that have been witnessed just in the last century, we understand that this battle is real, this battle is true, this battle gives us an explanation for what is happening. There is a hierarchy of invisible supernatural beings who are organized and determined. Now, I didn't come up with this. I found it in some of my studies. But they're determined to discourage, delusion, discomfort, disarm, disrupt, dissatisfy, dissuade, distract, disappoint, disgruntle, disequilibrate, disheartened, disheveled, distress, disqualify, disquiet, dispose, disturb. Who's in the back there? Should be the next slide. Hello? Okay, there we go. Disquiet, dispose, disturb, disunite, destroy, deceive. That's what these forces are doing. We see it. It happens. It's this battle. It's a spiritual battle. We see, first of all, that we fight the wrong battle. This is why we lose. He says here that we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against people. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Hotel Rwanda. What happened in Rwanda in 1994, between April and June in 1994, an estimated 800,000 Rwandans were killed in the space of 100 days. Most of the dead were Tutsis, and most of those who perpetuated the violence were Hutus. And they said the ethnic groups were actually similar. They spoke the same language, had the same traditions, lived in the same area. But this hatred grew so great that in 100 days, imagine that, 100 days, 800,000 people died. Where did that hate come from? Where was that stirred up from? And this is why this morning, as we talk about the philosophies of this world, and I'm going to mention one in particular, I want us to remember the battle is not against people. And we're in a place right now in our country where if you say, I voted for Biden, there's people that want to kill you. If you say you voted for Trump, there's people that want to kill you. And the comments on social media that are just hateful and vile and wishing people of the other political party to be dead. Wait a minute. Is that the battle? We want people to be dead because they didn't vote for what we voted for? Now, if we want to have a civil discussion and debate things, that would be good, but we can't even do that today. And you say, well, what's the relevance of that? Well, Rwanda is relevant, isn't it? It started somewhere, this hate. And we know, what is Satan? He is a liar and a murderer. The struggle is not political, it's not economic. It's not social, it's not even religious, it's not even theological. It's a struggle against the spiritual forces of wickedness. Think about it. What do you struggle? Who do you struggle against? It's usually people, right? Somebody at work, a family member, an old friend. Church. That's not where the struggle is. The struggle is way deeper. Way deeper. It's against these unseen spiritual beings. And the answer, by the way, is not politics. I can remember when I first got saved. I got saved through the radio, and when I came to know Christ, one of the people on the radio was Jerry Falwell, and it was the moral majority. We're going to change America. We're going to bring back America. That was back in the 80s. We can't win the fight with flesh and blood. Paul said, in order to turn them from what? Darkness of light, the power of God, the power of Satan to the power of God, there has to be a much deeper change. It's not just a political change. If you change the heart, then you'll change the political views. Only God can do that. But these forces are evil, are trying to influence society. Now notice, second of all, there are evil forces at work. Notice what Paul said. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You can go back to chapter 2 when he talks about Satan, the prince of the power of the air. You can look at Jesus' ministry when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. You can look as he cast out evil spirits. You can go to Revelation and different parts of the Old Testament, and you can see that this spiritual battle is real. And what Satan wants you to do, when I talk about, when I say the devil or Satan, he wants you to have those images. He has a good PR team. He wants to see those, you know, the movie images and you know, this beast or this being, and he's scary looking and he has horns. I just thought of that. Any theologians know if the Bible actually says he has horns or not? I don't know. But his influence is a lot more subtle. It's the beliefs and the philosophies that penetrate society. And the beliefs and the conclusions we come to because we live in this world. It's a horror movie. The reality is a lot worse. What does he do? He lies and he murders. Okay? 2017 celebrated 100 years of communism. They estimate since the Bolshevik Revolution that began in Russia, one of the greatest catastrophes in human history, they estimate over 100 million. A 100 million. That's a third of the population of the United States died because the philosophy and belief of communism. Think about that. Think about that. Societal beliefs matter. They have an influence on you and me, and a lot of us have things that we believe or unconsciously believe that unless they're filtered through the Bible, unless they're filtered through, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And so the truth is the only thing that can confront these societal norms. Or they come from the government. And communism was a political movement that was for the little guy, right? It was for the little guy. And as soon as they got into power, they became the big guys and killed all the little guys. Devastated. Devastated. Today, these societal philosophies, beliefs, and there's a lot of them. We could talk about America's view of money. Greed. There's a lot of these philosophies that are promoted by these evil forces. And the battle is in our mind. But one particular, I'm going to talk about one particular. And that's the growing, in an evangelical sense, it's being promoted even by our president, is transgenderism. Now, we know the Bible says God created them male and female. In our society, with no scientific proof, with no practical proof, with no health recommendations proof, without any evidence, has embraced transgenderism as a fundamental right. And if we don't embrace it, we're killing children. Our president said something like that. Think about that. Now, there's a book. There's a lot of material out there. But this book is interesting because Abigail Schreier, she's not a conservative by any means. Not a right. She's progressive liberal. I wrote this book. When she noticed the proliferation of transgenderism among young girls. And I'd recommend you reading this book, but here's a few quotes that she said. Fewer than 13% of parents believe that their adolescents' mental health has improved after transgender identification. Now, this is what they say. If your little boy, little girl, 7 years old, says, well, I'm no longer a girl, I'm a boy, the prevailing philosophy is you should do everything to affirm that. And as you go to the psychiatrist or the medical professionals, there's even laws in Canada, if somebody, and in Connecticut, Connecticut has a law against conversion therapy. If somebody comes into your office and says, I'm identifying not with my biological sex, and you try to diagnose it, you can be in trouble. You're supposed to affirm it. Now, can you imagine in medicine, all right, how many of you are internet doctors? All the women raised their hands, okay? Because I've been through this. Something doesn't feel right. And you read up on it. And you saw her on Facebook. And you go to the doctor, and he doesn't even have to do anything because you already know what it is. Now, can you imagine you went to the doctor and you said, I know I have a problem with my appendix or my liver, and I need surgery right now. Now, would you have trust in a doctor that says, okay, if that's how you feel, I'll schedule the operation? Would you do that? How about some tests? How about some blood tests? How about some echogram? How about we really see that maybe it isn't that, maybe it's something else? Today, in this country, now think about this. Because the idea is, how did this, I mean, if you would have talked even 10 years ago, the first day of high school, you go to high school, and I was there, I saw it firsthand, as they're online school, first day of high school, they go over the pronouns. Okay, wait a minute, what's this have to do with, what are we doing here? This is a pseudoscience. So, here's the thing. You go to the psychologist and you say, 7 years old, different, they may recommend puberty blockers. They may recommend surgery. Listen, what's the legal drinking age? 21. You have to be 21 to buy alcohol. How about smoking? How about driving? 16. Maybe that should be 21. No, just kidding. Now here's the thing. She said in a book, several studies indicate that 70% of kids who experience childhood gender dysphoria are not affirmed or socially transitioned, eventually outgrow it. 70%. She also said this, I can't think of any branch of medicine outside of cosmetic surgery where the patient makes the diagnosis and prescribes the treatment. This doesn't. So how did this happen? How did this happen? I believe it's satanic influences in our society. I believe as we go away from God and we shut God out, there wasn't a time in our society where, I'm not saying everybody went to church, everybody went, but we accepted the Ten Commandments, we accepted God, and a philosophy like this would have been, would never have been accepted or embraced. Whether it's communism, racism as in Rwanda, or transgenderism that is happening today in our society. And we have, you can find it on social media. We have teachers, kindergarten teachers. The law in Texas was not a don't say gay. It was, you're not teaching this to kids in kindergarten or third grade. Like they're going there to learn to write. They're not even, think about it. Just rationally think with me for a minute. A third grader who is not, I mean, not even puberty, right? We're going to talk about sexual identity. Oh, you play with, I mean, Rebecca, listen, Rebecca was my, till I had Joe, till she was 7, was my boy. She loved cars, she loved guns. She was my boy. Till she turned 7 or 8 and something happened. I lost my boy. She became a girl. And whenever I refer to her, she says, no, Dad, I'm a girl now. Kids are kids. So, if, and I'm not going to describe it this morning, but look up what transgender surgery is. It is horrific. It is brutal. And I would say my opinion, now if you're over 18, whatever, but I say for our kids, I think it's child abuse. Our president promotes child abuse. My opinion. You can write that down as my opinion, okay? But side note there, this is, anyways. But we're not fighting against people. Here's the thing. We're not fighting against people. This should overwhelm us with love and compassion for people. This should, listen, the only thing that that's going to change people is love. If you read any of the books, and there's a lot of books out there, I forget her name now, but there's several books and videos about people that were gay and transgender that have come out. You know what the common factor was? Love. Love. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We have to fight with the spiritual armor. It was loving people, not condemning them, loving them, and showing love. And the reason I said at the beginning, we're not fighting against people because sometimes in the church, we can become too hateful. Are those people? No, what did Paul say? He wants to rescue people from the power of Satan to the power of God. We need to rescue people from all different walks of life. So it's not about people. So how do we fight the battle? Quickly, we take the armor of God. Paul says in Corinthians 10:3, notice what he says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. What are these strongholds? These are these societal beliefs that we have embraced, that we've been brainwashed, that we've just taken. And we just grew up with them, and we've never evaluated, we've never confronted them. Is there another voice? Is there another truth? Can we debate it? And this is what shows you how, to me, this shows that there's something behind this. Because if you talk to people about this stuff, it's not, there's no, all right, let's sit down and have a coffee and talk about it. It's emotional. It's accusations. Like they have these, I was going to say this. They have these videos of these teachers in kindergarten, first grade, teaching this stuff. Can you imagine if I was a first grade teacher? And first, you know, on Monday morning, I'd come into school with my Bible and I'd be talking about, oh, I went to church Sunday and it was great. And the word, let me play you a clip from the worship band. And what do you think would happen? Yeah, wouldn't be good. But here he says, we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. What are these strongholds of these wrong beliefs? They're actually idolatry. When we reject the commandments of God and we embrace the idolatry of this world. And he wants us to bring these thoughts into captivity. Christians who desire to consistently win more battles than they lose are individuals who know the truth and are capable of evaluating the world's lies against that truth. Public opinion changes by the day. God's word does not change. Choosing between politically correct and biblical correction isn't a difficult choice for the Christian concerned about God's eternal perspective. Who controls or what controls how you make your daily decisions? Is it the word of God or is it society? Is it what God says or is it what Facebook says? These are the, so I want you to get out of your mind when we talk about these principalities and powers and demons, we got all these images in our mind and we're thinking of the last horror movie that we watched. Get that out of your mind. Because it's a lot more practical and evil than you think. What you believe matters. Your foundation of life matters. Paul said this, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, power of Satan to God. He said here, we wrestle not. This word wrestle. Now, how many of you come from a large family? If you come from a large family, you know what wrestling means. I was a bad father. Or I am still a bad, but when my kids were little, I would wrestle with them. When they became big, they would wrestle between themselves. And I would stay out of it because I was afraid of my life. My wife said, do something, stop it. I said, I'm not getting in there. I'm going to break an arm. But in Roman times, wrestling was not W-E-E, whatever that is. It was rough. They would poke eyes out, break legs, die. It was tough. Wrestle. It was a battle. We're in a battle. It's not easy. But you have to understand, don't fight the wrong battle. Don't be angry with your neighbor, with your friend. That's not where the battle is. Don't get on Facebook and start and put down everybody. That's not where the battle is. The battle is for the truth for our minds. The battle is on our mind. The battle is every day. Whether we're going to believe the word of God or we're not going to believe the word of God. Whether we're going to trust God or not trust God. And the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. Put it all on. that you may withstand in the evil day. Notice that God did not say it's the evil day, run and hide. Give up. No, he says, stand. You have my might. You have my plan. You can stand. I'm showing you here these philosophies, these beliefs that trick us, deceive us. But God is more powerful than any of them. You can watch Adrienne Armour on Facebook. She has a great testimony coming out of some of these philosophies. There is a lot of people that have been changed, transformed. Yet, sadly, many churches today follow the philosophies of the world and not what the Bible says. For us this morning, the most important question is start. Do you know Jesus? As Mikey said, they asked him, Do you want to have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know Jesus? That's really where it starts. That's where the battle, that's where the real battle is. Forget all the other stuff. The Pharisees were very righteous and had all the answers, but nobody was getting saved or changed or transformed. Jesus wants to transform our lives. Do you know him as your Savior? Have you been born again? Do you have a relationship? If you are a Christian, what's your relationship with him? If you don't take up the armor, you don't take it up. Like in World War II, when Germany invaded Poland, you know why they won so fast? Because the Polish people had horses. The Germans had tanks. Who do you think is going to win? Satan has tanks. You're going to win the battle. Riding on your horse. You need Jesus. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we thank you for this time this morning and these truths, Lord, that we understand where the real battle is, Lord. It's a very real, tough, but we know the victory is in you. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you, that they'd be saved this morning, they'd come forward. Or maybe somebody says, I need to get in the battle. I've just been kind of on the sideline. Or maybe you need to evaluate the philosophies of the world. Is there any basis? Are they going to help me? Am I going to build my life on these? We give you the praise in Jesus' name.